Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to WSI-sponsored Pagans Tonight Radio Network. Come explore news, information, entertainment, and ideas from a pagan point of view around the globe. Tune in every night for interviews and lively discussions on current events, philosophies, traditional and not-so-traditional practices, DIY projects, the who's who and what's what of our growing pagan community right here on Blog Talk Radio in English and now in Spanish.
Welcome to Circle Talk, the weekly podcast with voices from Circle Sanctuary and beyond. Tonight, we're continuing our series on the Pagan Spirit Gathering and its community. Tonight, we're going to take a look at Pagan Spirit Gathering Village Life. Pagan Spirit Gathering began in 1980. It was created at the very beginning as being a kind of festival in which people taking part would intentionally create a village together. And experience that village life and contribute to it for the duration of the week-long gathering, which happens at summer solstice time every year. One of the wonderful things about living in a village that has a pagan focus is that with the diversity, you're able to expand your understanding of many pagan paths. And with the unity, amazing things can happen. Tonight we have several people who have been part of the Pagan Spirit Gathering Village over the years, and we're going to have an opportunity to hear from each of them and for us to talk together about some aspects of village life. We begin by welcoming Pathwalker. He's helped with PSG village making, being part of the setup crew, and also has been active in various parts of Pagan Spirit Gathering village life. He's a Circle Sanctuary minister. He has contributed to rituals and meetings, drumming, men's rites of passage, and other aspects of life. Welcome, Pathwalker.
Thank you, Selena. Nice to be here.
Well, I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about how you came to be part of the Pagan Spirit Gathering community and its village.
That I can do, and I'll try to be as brief as I can, but I, like many pagans, I started practicing Wicca as a solitary back in about 1996 or 7, and after reading about it for a year and did a self-dedication. But I realized that as a solitary, I never found out what pagan people were really like. You know, I had sort of the public view of pagans as orgastic, you know, tree huggers and so on and so forth. And so I decided, I read about PSG from Circle, and I said, I'm going to take a shot at that. Well, in 1998, I wasn't quite sure. I thought it might be pretty risky, you know, to be with a bunch of pagans for a week. So I took the less risk side, and I showed up on a Tuesday rather than Sunday, which, to short circuit it, by Thursday I was extremely mad because I didn't go on Sunday. But showing up to a PSG environment 3 or 4 days after it's in motion, the energy there totally set me aside. Took me just to really get my feet on the ground. And so that's how I originally went to my first PSG. And of course, that's been 17 years ago. That's how I showed up there the first time.
Oh, that's amazing. And why does PSG continue to be part of your life?
Well, the short answer to that is because it changed my life, literally. There are folks that were talking in our circle here on the radio program. We've all been a part of it for many years, and we know each other for the most part. But to those that are picking the stream up from a stream base, that's the truth. It changed my life. I walked into a community, a village, I think there were 800 or 900 people there, and I saw things that I didn't know existed, things like seeing grown men honor young women, things like being able to leave your belongings anywhere with 600 people, and you come back a day later and they're still there. Things like seeing kids that were different than any children that I'd ever seen in groups like that. Things like seeing every imaginable ethnic, sexual orientation, race, whatever, and people together in a very loving, sincere fashion. And it literally changed my life. And as long as I have life, I'll be a part of it.
Well, it's really wonderful to have you part of PSG. And we're going to bring into our conversation another person who has been part of Pagan Spirit Gathering over the years. This is Minerva. She is known to many as the Lady Liberty League case manager. She works with pagan rights work. But for people in the Pagan Spirit Gathering village, they know her as the gatekeeper, coordinator, and she who has the task of guarding and facilitating the threshold, the gateway into the village. So welcome, Minerva.
Hi, Selena. How are you?
Hey, great to have you with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, how did you come to be part of the Pagan Spirit Gathering community?
Well, some friends had read about PSG and came to the group that I practiced with in Michigan and said, hey, we ought to give this a try. And much like Pathwalker, we went in midweek, and I vowed never to do that again. it was much the same way. It was a great way. It was the first festival I was at, the first that I attended. So maybe the partial week was a good way to go, but I just said after that, never again would I do that. And I've been going since 2001. I missed 2 years in and amongst those, but since 2001, and sort of in the middle there in 2006 or 7, I said, I really want to help build this village. And I volunteered to be one of the co-coordinators for GATE. And then the next year, Moonfeather was looking for somebody to do it, to be the GATE coordinator. And I volunteered to do that. So this will be my 6th year as full-out GATE coordinator. And right now, I wouldn't have it any other way. To be there before the village is built, as it's building, and then to see the energy shift and the excitement and the power and the love on Sunday, on opening day, is just one of the highlights of my year every year.
Can you tell us a little bit about what it's like to greet people who are coming for the first time to the gathering?
It's really kind of interesting because without fail, there's this wide-eyed, I don't want to say doe in the headlights, but, kind of like that. You can, the excitement is usually palpable when you reach their car. And nobody objects to getting out and ringing the Virgin bell, and the smiles from ear to ear when you say welcome home and offer help and all that. It is kind of tough getting a lot of people in quickly on opening day, but helping the new folks and greeting folks, the veterans, make it all worthwhile. And being able to watch people step up and assist the newbies is pretty amazing. You know, the sense of community and camaraderie and just open acceptance is one of, you know, just one of the amazing things that I see every year.
And share a bit about how PSG has become part of your life.
Well, in addition to going for as long as I have, and not as long as many, but still pretty long, and it's one of the first places I ever felt like I belonged, you know, and that I felt early on. Like, it didn't matter what transition I was in or who I was at the time, good, bad, or indifferent. It was a place where I could learn more about myself and my faith and my community. It's where I began to discover the specific aspect of my faith and my partner's Messina's faith, and that is working in a threshold. We actually call ourselves threshold witches now because so much of what we do and our magic and our workings are in those liminal spaces and, you know, the being at the gate and those times, those rites of passage and things like that. And, you know, I credit a lot of that with my experiences at PSG, not just walking with others on their change, but through my own changes. And then the women's ritual and the hunt and croning, as I did when I reached a certain age. And that has helped to solidify my personal practice in a way that I am so grateful for. And all that on top of all the people that I've met, even those I don't have contact with anymore, it's still been valuable experience. But many that I have and I know I will walk with through the rest of my life, and that's been such a gift.
Well, it's been really wonderful to have you be part of the community, and thankful for all of your contributions. And now we have another person who's been part of the Pagan Spirit Gathering community, and this is Deb. She's in the Circle Sanctuary Ministers Training Program. She's been active in one aspect of the Pagan Spirit Gathering educational life, the Pagan Leadership Institute, and also helped us with the women's ritual last year. Welcome, Deb.
Hello.
Hi, Deb.
Hi.
Well, tell us your story, how you got connected with the PSG community.
I've been pagan for a long time, but pretty much on a local basis. And my partner, Ron, had heard about Circle Sanctuary and PSG and suggested that we go one summer. So we laugh now. We packed. We took so much stuff that we had to drive two cars and got a speeding ticket on the way there. But once we got to the gate, and we were just amazed. This was a magical village, and it truly, truly felt like we had came home. And we absolutely fell in love, and we've gone back now for 9 years.
Yeah, it's been really wonderful. And when you think about PSG and your life, share some thoughts about what it contributes to your life.
I think that PSG quenches a thirst to be a part of a magical and a pagan community where everyone is open about what they believe and who they are, and you don't get to go to Kroger's and talk about calling quarters. and also, it's diverse. I've met a lot of different people from different paths and traditions that I wouldn't have met just in my local area. Everyone is so welcoming, and probably the deepest part for me that I have met people, Dave and Gail, Kernan and I, you, Michelle, I have met people that have become family, and it's very exciting to have a magical family.
I agree, and I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about what it's like to help create this village and live in it every year.
It's so much fun. I think for me the rewarding part is seeing the same people every year. People come and they come back, and it's really exciting. I remember the second time that Ron and I went, there were people who remembered our name, and it just felt like going home and seeing the different parts of the village. I like the structure. You get up, you go to morning meeting, you meet a lot of people. You get to meet authors and presenters and musicians. Then you have lunch, and then you go to workshops. Then you come home, and then I always go into the minister's intensive. Then you have rituals and concerts. I mean, it is a full jam-packed week, and it's all centered around spirituality and magic, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, and Minerva, I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about what it's like to live in a pagan village.
You know, it's I guess I will be echoing what Dev and what Pathwalker said, and that is you feel at home. You can wander off and leave your things, and they'll be safe. But what strikes me every year are two things. One is the acceptance. It doesn't matter if what I believe is the same as what the next person does, or who I love or where I'm from or what I look like. Open and absolute unconditional acceptance, and that's phenomenal to me. That and that we all speak similar languages, if not the same. You know, Deb mentioned, how can you go to the grocery store and talk about calling the quarters? Well, of course you can't, but, you know, there's nothing to strike up a conversation about visions or dreams or your own personal practice, and that is pretty phenomenal. There are years when I prefer to have less structure, and other years where I like to have more. I think it's just a perfect balance in that you can do what you want to do, and if it's music, if it's classes, if it's socializing, it doesn't matter. It's still it is fulfilling to me.
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
Yeah, Pathwalker. So you think back over the years as you've lived in this pagan village and helped to create it as well. What are some aspects of PSG village life that you enjoy?
Well, I'm just sitting here and listening to Minerva and Deb talk, and I'm just grinning from ear to ear because, you know, a good test of this is I have friends that I built over, 15 different, just 2 years, PSGs, and I see some of these people for setting up for a week or so, and I come to love and trust them more, seeing them 2 weeks a year, than people that I've known for 40, 50 years. And
oh, true
and
that,
It all has to do with this unique, spiritual, beautiful connection of love that exists on the acreage that this thing takes place in. And it's an amazing transformation. And when you leave and you go back to the mundane world, it takes a few days to get your skin thickened up again so you can live without the openness that we enjoy at PSG.
Yeah. I know David and Jeanette have also been part of the Pagan Spirit Gathering community over the years, and I'd like to have David come on and talk a bit about how you've come to be part of the PSG community and what it's like to be in a pagan village.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jeanette's not on the phone yet. She's still driving home, probably on the way home from teaching class. We first, you know, our association started with being with Circle Sanctuary. I was stationed in the Navy, Upper Great Lakes Naval Training Center, And we started going to Circle for events up there, and we kept hearing about this PSG, PSG. Have you gone to PSG yet? You got to go to PSG. You haven't lived until you've been to PSG. Oh, my God, PSG is wonderful. PSG is awesome. You haven't been to PSG yet? When are you going to come to PSG? And we used to hear that, you know, a few times. and finally, some friends of ours, Debbie and Suzanne, who live here in the greater D.C. metro area with us, you know, we were talking about it and said, well, you know, we're going to PSG. They'd already been there a couple of times. And like, let's, you know, you guys got to make it. You got to go. I'm like, okay, fine. We caved to the peer pressure and, you know, and that was a great thing. That was one of those times it was good to cave into the peer pressure. So we packed up, well, like y'all talked about, you know, like taking two cars worth of stuff. We packed up our SUV full of stuff and drove out. And our first time was in 2007. And that's when the big celebration for the Pentacle Quest and stuff was going on. And then we vended the next few years. So we did take two vehicles and a trailer of stuff. I mean, we packed all kinds of stuff and brought friends with us to help us out. So we brought people, you know, we conscripted people to bring along and convince other friends of ours of just how great it is. And it's really neat. I was mentioning in the chat how, you know, Minerva was taught, you were talking about being, you know, the gatekeeper and that experience is people coming in. And I think that's really an important role right there at the beginning, because you really feel that sense of you're crossing a threshold. We're stepping into a different time and place. When you cross through the gate and come into the PSG, mm-hmm. into the festival, and, you know, that's, you know, you're, you know, welcome home and the hugs and the happy and the smiles and just, I mean, it's just the welcoming feeling there is really sets the tone, I think, for why a lot of the rest of us return, you know. I mean, there's so many reasons why we return to PSG and there's so much going on, but the tone is set at the gate when we're coming in. And then from then on, it's just, you know, you've got, I was thinking about this, you have, what do you have in a village? You have schools, and we have the workshops, and we have the stuff for the kids and the tweens and the teens. You know, what do you have in a village? You've got somebody keeping the peace, and we have the guardians who go around and make sure that we're all safe and not being stupid. You know, what do you have in a village? You've got the medical people. You've got a hospital or somebody who takes care, and we have the guardians again doing the first aid and safety stuff and making sure that we're all healthy and, you know, and they take care of our boo-boos when we do something that we shouldn't have or whatever, you know. And what do we have in a village? You have shopping, you have a marketplace, and we have all the vendors who have wonderful stuff, you know. And you have in a village, you've got a church, you've got some sort of religious stuff going on. And at PSG, we have all these rituals happening and so many things going on that's so cross path stuff within the, you know, the pagan community and things. So, I mean, I thought about that this evening, about how it is, you know, for a week, it's an intentional community. It's very, we have everything we need there for while we're there. And, you know, and people are always helpful. And if you need something, somebody has what you need. And, they, you know, and the generosity and everything is just amazing to watch.
Yeah, I think about Pagan Spirit Gathering, and I think about some of the things that have evolved over the years. We have opportunities for everyone who takes part in Pagan Spirit Gathering to serve, do some work shifts, volunteer in some of the centers that are part of our village. And those centers would include the child care area and the educational areas for different age groups. We have tweens and teens, and we have many workshop zones for adults, and we have the Pagan Leadership Institute for people that feel called to do leadership work and have things specifically designed for that. And as mentioned before, there's music and shopping. There's all sorts of ritual spaces. And I think one of the wonderful things, as part of coming to the gathering, we all share a willingness to abide by some guidelines. And that sets it apart from some types of events, not just pagan events, but other events. Every event has its protocols and things. But we essentially, from the very beginning, have had guidelines that really talk about values and ethics, being respectful for each other and of the land, being honest, really carrying a spirit of love and honor as part of our way to be. And I think that that has contributed to the special feelings at Pagan Spirit Gathering, as well as in order to take part in the Pagan Spirit Gathering experience and be part of the village, one has to really decide this in advance. We do not have people just show up at the gate and decide on the spur of the moment to take part. We actually are thinking about taking part, and we have people register more than a week or two in advance, and that gives us enough time to get people information. And it's been interesting to see the gathering grow over the years. In the earliest days, we endeavored to keep it to just a few hundred people, but we've allowed it to take its long form, and so at its current existence, it's been hovering around the 1,000 mark, and it's been wonderful to have people from so many different places and paths be able to come together and live cooperatively, and when problems come up, trying to find good ways to sort through problem solving, getting some other people to help or people that may have some roles within our village. In a way, it's a kind of pagan utopia. But things aren't always perfect. You know, different kinds of weather events happen, and we have the opportunity to help each other deal with that. Sometimes it's really hot and sometimes it's really wet. We've been fortunate at our current site to have wonderful big old oak trees and other trees, a lot of shade and wonderful. So I'd like to just open this up for some more conversations about PSG and its village. Certainly there's been a number of adventures that we each have had over the years. And I'm wondering if some of you would be open to, you know, telling a story of an experience, specific experience, maybe it's with a ritual, or it might be just walking down the village, one of the village streets late at night and having some flash of insight. Pathwalker, do you have any things to share?
Well, I'm going through my memory banks and trying to figure out which ones I can tell and not get in trouble. I'll just point out the second rainbow dance. I woke up at 4 in the morning under a tree, but beyond that, it's been a very subdued. Well, that's not quite true either. But seriously, the first PSG I went to, I was so struck by I happened to be with a group of men that were invited to go to a joint young women's coming of age ritual. And I never experienced before the ritual for sure. But what blew me away was here were men in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and older that were welcoming these young women, just starting their menses, 13, 14, whatever, and watching them, watching two things. Grown men seriously respecting women, and the women being manifest of the goddess. It blew me away. I started crying, but nobody paid any attention. And I still get tears thinking about it today. And that won me over because it pointed out to me that the whole village worked in a different set of rules than our normal life on the outside ran in many different ways. And from that, I'll simply say that the kernels that occur like that to a person that's opening and watching, that helps drive a person to want to give back to the community. And that's a whole different story. But the people that really get the most out of it do that in direct proportion to what they put into it. It's that beautiful loop. I have 1,000 stories I could tell, but I won't take all the time up.
Well, and I really appreciate your good words about the young woman's rite of passage. When we first created that passage rite, we had discussion about whether to keep it as an all-women's rite, as it's done in some communities, or to have it open to all people who wanted to come, men and women and children, and it's been really wonderful to see that ritual evolve over the years. We have blessings of the young women by the girls in the village, and we have blessings by the mothers in the village, and women who, whether they are mothers of human children or nurturing in other ways, they do a blessing. The crones do a blessing, and then all the men in the village do a blessing. And it's been really wonderful to hear the words of wisdom being exchanged, and men and the crones usually make this point that the young women are empowered to decide who they're going to be with and to protect themselves, and no means no, and really doing it in a very community supportive way, and knowing as young women that being assertive and deciding about boundaries is a really important part of life. And so I'm very appreciative of all the people that have helped with that over the years. Deb, I'm wondering if you have a favorite memory about some particular thing in PSG.
Yes, and it's now a funny memory. It was not at the time. I wanted to tell people who are maybe a little afraid of camping, you do not have to be an experienced camper to come to PSG. There's many people who are there to help you. The first year we camped, we took a tent. The second year, we bought an old used camper. So I cleaned it, and off we went. So we put it up, and we had a little bit of wind that year with sun and wind. The next morning we woke up, the sunlight woke us up because we had a sunroom. The whole side of our canvas camper had shredded. It was laying on the ground.
Oh, no.
That's when I learned you can't clean canvas with bleach. So everybody was so helpful.
I hadn't heard that one before.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I was in tears. People laughed. They got tarps. That's when I learned a sacred tool at PSG is duct tape.
Yeah.
And people came. They adopted us. They helped us. And they got us all settled. And it was a great experience. So I encourage you, if the only thing that's making you hesitant not to come is camping, please come. You do not have to be an experienced camper. There are lots of people who come who have never camped before, and it goes great.
Oh, that's a great story. Minerva, I know you have lots of stories. Do you have a favorite memory do you want to share?
Well, it kind of goes with what Deb just said and what others have said, and that is in the beginning I always went arrived with a group and camped with a group. But in 2007, I just, you know, things happened and not everybody could come, and I decided I was going to go anyway. So while I was an ex-camper, I was not experienced in doing it alone. And I tried to figure out things that I could do to make it work, and of course, invariably, still needed help. And I should never have doubted that I would have the help I needed, even without asking, although being there did sort of help me ask, you know, learn to ask. But that's one of the things. The other thing is a very personal ritual, and that was my hand fasting last year with Messina. There are not many places in the world where we could have had such an amazing time attended and have the ritual attended by people we knew and loved and those that knew of us, but we hadn't yet met. And I met people there actually at our wedding that now are great friends of mine that I had no clue who they were prior to that. And that kind of thing happens every year. So this just is my best memory right now.
And that was a wonderful ceremony.
Yes.
I'm very glad to be part of it. And there is lots of love for both of
Indeed.
You. It was really fabulous. And David, do you have a favorite memory to share?
Yeah. Well, Jeanette just called in too, so I'll bring her in to share.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. But I remember that we got a few memories. I mean, God, there are just so many memories to choose from. I know one was, you talk about the generosity, and if you're not an experienced camper, there's plenty of people to help. We were at Camp Zoe, and some people had set up down by the river, down by the stream. If you've been there, you remember the stream that ran along the cliff there. You know, it was a really nice little area there. And that year, it was a high water. There's some high water going on and heavy rain in the area. And there was this one gal who set up her tent right there by the stream, and she brought her teenage son. It was just the two of them. And she woke up to everything in her camp floating away. I think they were able to rescue a couple of things, but basically tent, coolers, all the stuff just floated down the river. And, you know, she came to a workshop that Jeanette was leading, and, you know, she talked about how all my stuff just washed away. I got nothing, but I'm gonna do something. I'm going to enjoy myself somehow, and we'll get it figured out. And people, those are when the storms come through and, you know, and things happen, you know, there are plenty of us who, when we go camping, when we go to PSG, we go camping, we bring an extra tent. I bring extra tie-down stakes. I bring extra rope. I bring extra everything, you know. So, you know, if somebody's tent just collapses and fails on them, you know, like a friend of ours who was with us, and she borrowed a tent from some people in her tent, you know, the first, and it was that rainy weekend and that rainy one. And her the fancy European whatever tent that she had, it just collapsed and flooded out. And she's like, she was all like, "What am I going to do?" And I said, "Here's a tent. Let's go set it up." Because I had a tent. You know, there's so many people there who bring so much extra stuff that if things like that happen, we've all got, everybody chips in like, "Well, I got a tent. Here's some tent. I got this. We got this. We got this." You know, make sure we all look out for each other and really, really do that. And I just wish that more people in just general society had that same kind of way, you know, about
generosity,
you know,
spirit. And you know, the other thing, and David and I still talk about this. This is back in, what year was it? 2011. That my mom passed away.
Yeah.
So
the first
year
at Stonehouse.
Yes, it was the very first year at Stonehouse, and my mom had not been doing well, and my dad was keeping me updated, but it was still very sudden that early that Sunday morning, David and I and one of our friends came with us, we came in early that Saturday, and the very next morning, my dad called and said my mom passed away. Now, we are one of those people that also, we camp heavy. We bring a lot of stuff with us. In a big 10x20, besides our tent, in the mall, a bunch of our stuff. Well, from the time I got the call, which was, I don't know, about 9:30, until the time we were completely packed up and on the road, it was only 3 hours. Only 3 hours.
Wow.
Within about 15 minutes or so of me finding out, we didn't even put the word out. Other people put the word out, and then there was a swarm of a few dozen people that just came out of the woodwork and suddenly started helping us pack out.
Yeah. There's a picture someplace of Arthur Hines and River Higginbotham on our air mattress. Deflating it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because you all had been pretty much set up, and then you got word that this had happened, and you needed to go right away. And I remember that whole process and how cooperative it was. And I do think that story illustrates the caring and the sharing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And again, this is something that you would not necessarily see. I mean, you do see it from time to time when big disasters strike and people come out and they help each other. But the people that came up out and helped us, some of these people were people we didn't know at all. And they took the time to come out, and they helped us pack up. And, I mean, it was really just amazingly organized about how quickly things were just put up and put away and packed in our trailer. And, I mean, like I said, we were on the road in just a few hours. And, I mean, in addition to that, we had a friend who, you know, we parked, we had camped next to our friends Debbie and Zan. And it didn't even cross their mind not to do this. They brought our friend Leah home because she's a mutual friend. And so they brought her back home to the D.C. area without a second thought.
Right.
You know,
right.
She could stay there for the week. So, I mean, it was really just an amazing, I'm still struck by that. I mean, this was like 3 years ago. And I'm still struck by how generous people were and how quickly people just came together to help us pack out and get on the road. And it was really just an amazing thing to see and to really experience. So in the wake of this, you know, this very sad, sudden thing, you had these people who were just overwhelming in their support, and not only in the pack out process, but just in their support of me. I mean, you had, and Nora, you know, immediately was there and, you know, providing support and stuff too, because even though your parent might be sick, there's still a shock with the passing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as I think back over the years and different ways that people have deepened their connections and a challenge such as that, not only a good response to the situation, but then relationships can deepen. One of the things about the Pagan Spirit Gathering Village, it exists in the physical plane with the spiritual plane intertwined, of course, during the summer solstice week, and a little bit before and a little bit after, depending on if you're on setup crew and takedown crew. But for the rest of the year, it seems, especially with social media, that our village life and discussions and relationships are continuing. And I'm wondering if any of you want to share some perspectives about being in the PSG Cyber Village in addition to the actual physical village during the PSG week. I'm wondering if any of you are part of the Pagan Spirit Gathering Facebook group, for example.
This is Minerva, and I am. I'm on that and the Circles Facebook group, and I find it an absolutely wonderful way to stay in touch with folks. You know, it's added a whole new dimension for me to my time at PSG to be able to know more of what's going on in folks' lives. I don't think it's necessary, but I think it helps to understand all that, you know, to be able to see the day-to-day stuff sometimes. And it helps. There's something amazing at PSG about just knowing the person in the moment for who they are at that festival. But it's also very cool to see and learn new dimensions of them as well. And for that, I think the social media is really good.
And a question I'll put out to each of you. What are some suggestions for coming to PSG for the first time and being part of this village?
I this is Minerva again. I think you have to be ready for downtime if the energy is overwhelming. That's one thing. And the other is to be careful of expectation. I think Pathwalker said it earlier in that you get what you give, and that's important to keep in mind. But don't build it up. As amazing as it is, I don't want to sound negative, but just come in open-minded to whatever happens, and it will be phenomenal for you.
I think the idea of weaving into one's experience some time that's unscheduled, where you can just be and experience being in the village and taking some walks. And certainly one could be in an organized activity 24/7. We have the all-night dancing and drumming around the bonfire and the ritual circle, and other people keep really late night or early morning hours, and having some time where you can just be. Our present site has some wonderful wooded areas, and being able to walk along the paths, and in addition to interacting with humans in the village, well, we have beautiful land, and there's a pond, and watching the sun rise and the sunset, really wonderful, and we do get some beautiful birds and other creatures that sometimes will make themselves known even with 1,000 people camping in the mix. any other suggestions for those who are looking to experience the PSG village?
Yeah, and Pathwalker, coming in on suggestions that I would want to share would be if you really find yourself, you will find yourself, the chances are most likely to be drawn into so many things. You can involve yourself in so much that you really don't get a chance to experience anything in depth. So it pays to do some research on the events that you might find interesting. And then I think Selena and others also said that take the time to watch events as a third person, and not just the events themselves, but watch the people watching the events. And you will pick up energy, and you will see some of the magic that manifests within PSG. And the other thing is the watchwords of water, sunscreen, and hard soul shoes.
Yeah,
you'll hear that a time, and you better be sure to bring them.
Yeah, Ron on chat just reminded me to tell the turtle story. When we first started going to PSG, we were one of those people that tried to do everything. We were drumming at night. We were getting up early, going to meetings, workshops. And so by Wednesday, we looked pretty pitiful. So, and we were trying to decide if we were going to miss a workshop, but what we should do. And it's funny, we looked out our window, and walking across very slowly was a turtle. And I said, well, that's our sign. So we slowed down and took a nap, and we never saw that turtle again.
Nice. That's great.
Yeah, that's true. So, it is important for people to pace themselves. And I think it is, Pathfinder made a good suggestion. If there's some things in particular you really want to, to focus on, one of the nice things about this event is that the organizers start listing workshops pretty early. And not only the workshops, but also some of the highlighted rituals. So early on in the game, you can really see what those rituals are. And if there's something that you want to focus on, you can really plan your time. But, besides just the, just being, and just experiencing, without going to any rituals, just take the time to walk through the various camps and get to know people. I mean, we are a minority religion. There's not that many of us around. were scattered around the United States, and you know, some of your best and your deepest connections that happen there can just be face-to-face encounters or just hanging out with people.
Yeah, and I think the idea of actually making time during Pagan Spirit Gathering to explore the village, to not only do the walk around the marketplace area where just amazing things are there. Sometimes some of the vendors are the artisans. They've actually created the artwork and the crafts, and others have a variety of different things. So being able to have a time just being in the marketplace, but getting up early in the morning when most of the village is asleep and being able to walk around. Often there's a mist coming up over the pond. So, I mean, it really is kind of out of a legend. And really getting a sense that you're living in this totally pagan space and feeling safe and feeling connected, not only with the other humans, but the greater circle of nature of which we're part. And I do think having time to just experience the village in the height of the day when most everyone's up and moving around, and also during some of the quiet times. The labyrinth is a tradition that we have at the Pagan Spirit Gathering every year. It's one of the evenings. It is a 1,000-candle labyrinth, Minoan or Cretan or classical style, depending on how you want to call it. But essentially, hundreds of people during the course of the night from sunset to sunrise are walking the labyrinth in silence. And it can be seen from many parts of the village, and being able to get a sense of village moving together and doing deep spiritual work is really a wonderful memory that I have from each year. Every year the labyrinth's different, but it's really a wonderful thing. I see that we are almost done with our time tonight. I'm wondering if anyone else has any final brief words to share, such as something that you may be doing at Pagan Spirit Gathering 2014, or any other thoughts about the PSG Village.
I'm going to be teaching too. Well, okay.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, Pathwalker, I was just going to quickly say that for new people that are coming for the first time that may be listening to the program, do not be afraid to make your own decisions on what you do and don't want to do. More than one people have expressed concern that if they don't understand something, are they going to be more or less forced or drawn in? And I assure anyone out there that hasn't been to PSG, you'll have every chance to talk to people who will happily tell you what's going on. And do not be afraid. You have the right to do what you want to do during the entire week within the guidelines.
This is Minerva. That's great advice, Pathwalker. Like has been said, don't try to do it all. Make sure you take time for yourself because the energy can be overwhelming, and as fulfilling as it can be, it can also sap you a little bit. So take some downtime. And Selena, you asked about what we all might be doing. I just want to sort of put a plug in for a couple things, if that's okay.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing a Lady Liberty League meeting where we give an update. I'm also going to be doing a workshop on, because LLL is about religious rights for pagans, I'll be doing a workshop on what to do if you think your rights have been violated. And then I'm going to be doing a workshop aimed at women of all ages to just, it's going to be a facilitated discussion just what do you want to know? So hopefully it's going to be young women, mothers, daughters of the dark moon and crones, you know, to talk across the ages and learn from each other. So those are some of the things I'm excited about for this year.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Any other things that you all want to share that you may be doing? I know I'm going to be doing a variety of rituals like I do every year, and ministers intensive and some other workshops. But I always try to make time to just experience the gathering.
This is Deb, and I'll plug in a shameless commercial for two workshops. I'm going to be doing a workshop for the Pagan Leadership Institute on crisis management, and the other one on setting up beginning classes for sort of a Pagan 101 series and how to integrate seekers and new people to the path and people who are experienced so that everyone gets something out of classes. So come to my class and tell me you heard about it on the podcast.
Hey, that sounds great. And Pathwalker, I know you're going to be there providing some color for our morning meetings and working with the men's rites of passage. And I'm excited about the saging part of the village life.
Yeah, I've been communicating, or I will be communicating with Jim Bloodsmith, and he started this ball rolling a couple of years ago, and I missed last year, but hopefully I'll be able to plug into his program, and that'll be very interesting. I'll be having a workshop also from the PLI series on introducing paganism and Wicca to interfaith, non-faith, and other classroom settings, and set up and just fun things. I'm looking forward to it, as always.
Well, thank you all for being part of the show tonight. Thank you, Pathwalker, Minerva, and Deb. And thanks to David and Jeanette for your work not only with this podcast every week, but the other one we do, which is Circle Craft Study, which is on Tuesday nights. I invite all of you listening live and listening later to check out the Pagan Spirit Gathering website, www.circlesanctuary.org/PSG. And if you're interested in being part of our Pagan Spirit Gathering community on Facebook, then you can let us know that as well. Well, we say farewell for tonight, but invite you to stay tuned for some more programming on Pagans Tonight Radio Network, and to tune in next week for Circle Talk, where we will continue our explorations of Pagan Spirit Gathering life by taking a look and a listen to music. Good night.
Good night. Blessings to everyone.
Good night. Blessings.
Good night. See you all soon.
Good night.
Good night.
Night.